Welcome to Revelation Warning, a weekly podcast hosted by Pastor Robert Thibodeau as he interviews prophecy experts from around the world as we discuss current events in relation to Bible prophecy. All of this is to give the world a final Revelation Warning. Now, here is your host with this week's guest, Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Revelation Warning Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us here today. And back with us again is our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling, as we're going to be discussing Bible prophecy, current events, things coming over the horizon that you need to be aware of, because this is dealing with the here and the now and the what's about to happen type thing. Amen. Praise God. Help me welcome back to the program, our good friend, Dr. Richard Ruling. Dr. Ruling, it is a blessing to be able to talk to you again, brother.
Well, it's mutual. God designed it that way. Nothing is parasitic living off of someone else. We it's more blessed to give than receive. And I feel blessed to be with you, especially on your ministry here. God bless you and all your people worldwide. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. So you got some things to share that is going to relate to what we're seeing, things happening right now. And matter of fact, at the day of this recording, did you see that massive 7.7 earthquake that just shook Thailand?
I saw a brief note about it. Yes, those are signs, a crescendo of signs. It's getting louder and louder that big things are coming.
Yeah, amen, amen. So what is it that you want to share with us today that you've seen is just over that horizon?
Well, when Christ was asked about the end of the world in Matthew 24, he said to understand the book of Daniel. And in Daniel's 8th chapter, there's a vision at the time of the end. It's a conflict between a ram pushing from the Middle East, I believe it's a Muslim ram pushing from the Middle East, and a goat that flies from the west and breaks the horns. In verse 20, it says the horns are the kings of Media and Persia. But today you would say Iraq and Iran. And I actually predicted war with Iraq before 9/11 based on that. You know, it took 9/11 to get us into war, but there were no weapons of mass destruction and so on. It was a bad situation leaving men over there and equipment. So we don't want war with Iran. What makes the goat angry? And I'm seeing that it's things that are impending right now that are going to get us into war again. And I believe that, and Trump has made a 2-month ultimatum to Iran. So, and by the way, I think that Trump is supported in scripture more strongly than most people realize. He should not have had a close call in the election. It should have been hands down for Christians because basically in that vision of the time of the end, there is a goat with a great horn. In Bible times, they cut off the horn to make a trumpet. Okay.
Yep.
And the great Trump is the great horn, and it makes the goat great of all things. He wants to make America great. So that's huge. But the devil reads the Bible, and the devil is trying to sidetrack, derail, get it out of there. I honestly think the election was stole in 2020. I was watching till after midnight, et cetera.
Yep.
But they got away with it, and God had to declare, wait for him to get back in. And even in spite of an assassination attempt, I mean, to kill him, by 1 inch, his life was spared. And of all things, Exodus 29, verse 20, high priests were anointed with blood on their ear. And kings were sometimes anointed. And so I think, wow, biblical. how is that?
I haven't caught that one. Yeah, amen, amen.
And so I see also that... wondering about how we get into war, it's the biblical thing is Bible doesn't put all the answers in one spot. God could have said everything in the first few pages of the Bible, but it would ruin it for each generation. God wants everybody looking, seeking, trying to understand his word. Amen. And it's here a little, there a little, it says in Isaiah 28. So I'm seeing that in Zechariah 14, which is the last chapter before Malachi and the end of the Old Testament, Zechariah 14, God is going to gather nations against Jerusalem. Houses will be rifled, women ravished. Half the city goes into captivity And then the Lord is going to go forth and fight against those nations. And, you know, a lot of people think that the Jews are there for God brought them back and so on. You know, but I think as I look at it, in fact, a messianic rabbi said that 90% of the Jews in Israel have no interest in their spiritual heritage. They're just there for free land from the UN. And they don't care about God. And I see God is going to let the Muslims take them out because I think he wants a kingdom of people that are not just Jewish, but Christians who accept Messiah, but accept the biblical laws as well. You know, so and the Jews have to accept Messiah. And I'm seeing how that comes again in the events that are going to unfold this coming week and this coming year and so on. So I would like to, but I don't want to spill all the beans at once. And I want you to hold me to truth and an understanding of it from your perspective. And so thank you for having me.
Amen. Amen. Well, you know, we have this massive upheaval going on in our government right now, you know, as they're trying to eliminate jobs and all that, and that puts more people out on the streets. You know, they're losing their jobs, their income, and that's going to put undue burden on the people. So there's this turmoil going on internally right now. And then, you know, he's the tariffs and, you know, doing all this stuff with these other nations. That's creating turmoil in their economies. Then you have the, you know, the issue with, you know, the Houthis and all of that stuff taking place, which, you know, resulted in that ultimatum that you heard issued to Iran to get it under control or else. Then you have, you know, the issue of the nuclear war, the nuclear reactors and nuclear weapons in Iran and Israel wanting to have some say so in making sure that doesn't happen. And so we got all these different perspectives of a configuration of happenings right now.
I'd like to just share a little more because sometimes it sounds like speculation. The great horn is the great Trump, but you know, that's kind of wild, but actually, the horns were more important than we realize, I think. And it says in Isaiah 46:10 that God declares the end from the beginning. And so if you go to the book of beginnings, Genesis, in the 22nd chapter, Abraham was tested over his willingness. Did he love his son more than he loved God? Would he be willing to sacrifice his son? And at the last minute, if you remember, he was about to sacrifice his son when Abraham, don't do it. And there was a ram caught in a bush. You remember that story? Well, George Bush caught the first ram.
Amen.
To me, that's huge that God could pick an imagery to fit the first horn. And now we have another great horn coming along that's going to do the Iran thing. And I'm seeing that Iran, if they just even understood that, you know, they think that Ishmael was the son that was spared, but the Bible says Isaac. And the truth is that as a result of the war with Iraq, Isaac or his grandson, Israel, actually it was Isaac's son was Jacob and Esau. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. Israel was spared as a result of what happened with the war with Iraq, and it's going to happen again. That Israel, they may attack them and get the unbelieving Jews out, but I think the goat with the ram horn, with a big horn, is going to spare. And one more thing, God is not going to leave it fully to Trump. It says in everybody, you know, this by the way is
everybody.
The Jews do not believe John 3:16, and the Muslims don't believe John 3:16, that God gave his only begotten son. The Quran says Allah has no son. Well, they get Joel 3:16, which says the Lord will roar from Jerusalem, the heavens and earth shake, and the Muslims are going to flee. Okay, so at first, the Jews are going to wonder, how in the world could God must not be around because he's letting Muslims take the city? No. But then I think a month later, as the days of Noah in May, a big event, just like the flood was a huge event, I believe that there will be an earthquake that shakes the whole world when God, the Lord, roars from Jerusalem. In another sense, when Amos 3:7 says God won't do anything without revealing it, the next verse tells, I think, what he wants to reveal. the lion has roared. Who will not fear? And I had a disconnect. I didn't know what that meant for years, really. But one day, I think the Holy Spirit impressed me that, you know, hey, Revelation 5:5, Christ is the Lion of Judah. And when he roars, heavens and earth are going to shake, and it's going to be when the Muslims take the city. He's the Lion of Judah. He's protecting Judah and Jerusalem there. And he's going to let the people that have no faith get gone, but then he's going to get rid of the Muslims. And by the way, Iran has the fastest growing Christian church in the world, probably. Lots of people turning. Persecution turns. People are willing to die for their faith, and some Muslims are wondering, what does that guy have that I don't have? You know, and so I think it's a great opportunity for what's coming, and for a kingdom that's going to be not just Jews, but Christians and anybody. In fact, let me share this with you. You've heard Handel's Messiah, music at Christmas time. I sang in it in high school and again in college. There's a soloist that sings, speaking for God, I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea, the dry land, and the desire of all nations will come. I believe that's his kingdom. Okay.
Amen.
And that's what people really want, a fair kingdom, not to be taxed, not to send your men into war and kill each other and so on. And the world could be so much better if we had his kingdom. And I'm seeing how we get there this time when Jews will get another chance at the 70 weeks. You remember in Daniel 9, 70 weeks were determined or probation on the Jewish nation. And when they missed Messiah in 69 weeks, they didn't count the weeks. They didn't count the sevens. Historically, they've had a problem counting sevens. you remember they had a sabbatical year. They were supposed to rest the land. They didn't do it. And so God took them to Babylon for 70 years. He said he would punish them seven times over. So 70 years for 10 years that they didn't, 7 years of sabbatical years that they didn't do it. So, which came every seven. Anyway, I'm seeing that if God roars from Jerusalem at the second Passover, and I call this a 9/11 Passover, in the book of Numbers, verse chapter 9, verse 10 and 11 is a second Passover time. And I believe it's to test our knowledge of God's word, because when God took Israel from Egypt to Sinai, and he said, if you keep my covenant, you'll be a kingdom. He later said, return, I married you. He got a bride, but he got a dumb bride. he doesn't want that for Christ. Christ has already been through enough. And so he wants Christ wants an intelligent bride. And he said in Matthew 16, verse 11, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, meaning the at Passover time, it was a time to eat unleavened bread, not made light. They had to really chew it. Well, today, preachers just want a light sermon, easy to swallow. You don't have to chew it, you know. It all sounds good. But they have
not just the preachers. Bread. That's what the believers want, too.
Yeah, that's right. So I'm seeing that interestingly, in the different wedding parables all fit together to show a calamity is coming. In Matthew 22, the remnant treat the invitation to the wedding feast poorly, and so they get their city burned. The remnant, by the way, is in the King James Version, verse 6. They scorn the wedding invitation. And verse 7, the king sends his armies and burns up their city. Well, I don't know specifically how it can completely apply, but I believe that the church I came from, Seventh-day Adventism, they're going to get their city, Loma Linda, burned because they hijacked the school of Loma Linda to teach pharmacology when the founder, Ellen White, wanted natural remedies to train missionaries. But the leaders wanted AMA accreditation, and the AMA said you have to teach pharmacology to get it. And now it's just a regular medical school, you know, with Bible class. But that's if I ate a junk food diet and just took a vitamin, I would still not be healthy. I try to eat well. It's the whole deal, you know. And so you can't just edit what you want from God. It all is hard. And in Revelation 18th chapter, there's a call to come out of Babylon, which I believe is the confused systems of this world. Educational system today is crazy with sex education and all the transgender this and that. I wouldn't want to send my child to a public school. And the whole thing is better if we do it God's way. And
Amen.
We just need to get back to God fully. But specifically, the call out of Babylon that I started to mention in Revelation 18, Babylon has fallen, come out of her, be not partakers of her sins, receive not of her plagues. And verse 23 says, for by her pharmakia is the Greek word, pharmakia, were all nations deceived. We're deceived by pharma and the drugs. And I have a book, The Truth About the Drug Companies, How They Deceive Us, written by the former editor of the New England Journal of Medicine. Smart woman, MD, but she's saying we're being deceived by pharma, you know, the companies. Yeah. And we have a good evidence of this in the recent epidemic, I think, with you know, bad shot.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
And people dying, getting sick and so on. Not like it used to be.
They're still getting sick and dying from the shot they took 5 years ago.
Yes, exactly right. Their immune system, I think, is messed up bad, and they don't know. There are people that think they're fine, but when the next epidemic comes along, they may have problems serious, you know.
Yeah, so, and they're trying to push this bird flu. Oh, we're going to have a vaccine for that here pretty soon, you know. And my daughter asked me about it the other day. I said, I'm not taking that thing.
Good for you. God bless you. Yeah, and to your listeners as well, I would say I have an article that from NIH, National Institutes of Health, and they presented evidence of an impaired immune system and carcinogenesis, in other words, tumor genesis, generating it when the immune system's not working well. Some pathologists find many more pap smears are positive now. Cancer of the colon in young people is popping up.
Yeah.
Heart attacks in Seattle, 98% of the people had the shot, but they've had a thousandfold percent would be 10 times as many heart attacks as a result. So bad overall. And need to get back to this. How do we get to a chance again for the Jews? If you go from the second Passover of May, I call it a 9/11 Passover, providing, see, if an Israelite took a long trip and he couldn't get back to Jerusalem in time for Passover, he was not excused. Passover meant judgment, and we all have to face judgment. So he was had to keep it a month later in May. Well, that's as the days of Noah, the flood came in the second spring month. So counting from Passover in May, 7 weeks to, you know, it was 50 days. They would count 7 weeks, and the day after that, like on a Sunday morning, it was Pentecost. Well, I'm seeing that if we do that, biblically, with God's calendar, and I can explain it a little more later, I believe there's an implied decree like Daniel 9:25. From a decree to restore and build Jerusalem is 69 weeks to Messiah. Okay, Messiah meaning anointed. Christ was anointed at his baptism by John, but by the Holy Spirit as well.
Okay,
and but we will get that opportunity again because Handel's Messiah has things in it. There's a song that says, I will shake the heavens, the earth, and so on. And the desire of all nations will come is his kingdom. But there's a date given three times in that chapter. The ninth month, 24th day, is stated in verse 10, 18, and 20. And so, you know, and I believe it's clearly stated that in Haggai's time, it was when the foundation of the temple was laid. Jews are now arguing and debating over a third temple, but God is not going to let them build a third temple to sacrifice lambs when his lamb, Isaiah 53, Christ was the lamb who he bore our sins and sorrows. I think that that's not going to happen. But the Bible teaches that ye are the temple of God. His Holy Spirit dwells in all who are open to Christ. And so there will be an anointing, I believe, of us after 69 weeks. And that date given in Haggai 2, verse 10, 18, and 20, fits Hanukkah, the time when they had no oil. They only had enough for one day, but it lasted eight days. Well, so if the Jews can somehow get a hold of this, that there's another opportunity. If we see Muslims taking Jerusalem and then a huge earthquake a month later with the 9/11 timing, hey, we got to look for Pentecost and count the weeks and be seeking God's blessing. The Pentecost, really, I believe, in Revelation 11, it says, verse 1, rise, measure the temple. I believe that's a time of judgment. And verse 3 says, I'll give power to my two witnesses, Old and New Testament, for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. And when they finish their testimony, and by the way, it says they have power to shut the heavens. That's Elijah power that I think we get, that we can get at Pentecost. But if we do the 69 weeks, another anointing, Elisha power. Elisha wanted a double portion of Elijah power. Mm-hmm. And Elisha did every kind of miracle that Christ did. Christ turned water to wine. Elisha turned water to oil for a poor widow that had a debt, that she sold the oil and made her money. Christ raised a dead child. So did Elisha. Christ healed 10 lepers. Elisha healed one. We can see, and can you imagine? I'm thinking that this is not about me or you, but 144,000 people. In Revelation 14:4, they are said to be virgins. And if virgins, the Bible explains itself, they have to be the wise virgins to get in the wedding. And Luke's wedding parable has more on this than the other two, because he says, have your loins girded and lights burning. Be ready when I come and knock. That if you open immediately, you're blessed. It says, blessed are those servants whom his Lord finds watching. And by the way, the word watch is only done at Passover for Israel. It was a time to be awake. In Egypt, they were to eat the Passover lamb and leave nothing till morning. They were awake all night. In Christ's time, he asked, could you not watch 1 hour even? Exactly. But his disciples went to sleep. I think they lost the kingdom, by the way, in that event. If they had the strength morally to pray and seek God's help and pray for Christ, when the Jews came with the Romans, they should have said, instead of running and scattering, they should have said, hey, we're going to trial with you. And supporting him, when the Jews accused him of going to tear down the temple and build it in 3 days, they could have said, no, he's talking about his body. Come out Sunday morning. You'll see. If they had said that, there would have been witnesses. They themselves could have prevented the Jews from lying if they were willing to face death. And the Pentecost could have meant the whole nation in repentance. And if that was so, they could have had the kingdom. You know, it could have been established if they had repented for what they did. Instead of 120 hiding in an upper room, the whole nation could have. The world would be so much better today. And so, you know, I think when the disciples asked Christ in Acts 1, verse 6, are you going to restore the kingdom? If it had been me, I'd said, well, you guys failed me so bad it can't happen. You know, but Christ, gentle Jesus, he said, it's not for you to know the times or seasons. But Paul says, of the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write, for you know perfectly. He said that in 1 Thessalonians 5. And the next verses are phrases that fit Egypt, how we're going to, I think, come out of Egypt. God came as a thief. The day of the Lord comes as a thief in the night. Well, in Egypt, God came as a thief. He stole their slaves. And nobody saw God at night. He came as a thief. You know? And when they were going into the Red Sea, it was peace and safety. It'll be all right, you know, but sudden destruction came on them. So it's a repeat of Israel's Exodus event. And in Jeremiah 30, verse 11, God says he's going to make a full end of all other nations, but not his kingdom. So the point is, I don't want to be here in America when the full end is made. It's going to be bad news. I think we have to go to the land of the covenant. And Trump, get this one now, is... engraved on a coin in Israel as Cyrus II.
I've seen that.
Okay.
Yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah. Well, Cyrus I, he wasn't called one, but Cyrus was so impressed when Daniel showed him his name in Isaiah 45th chapter, verse 1, with the two gates open, because Cyrus didn't know anything about the writings of Isaiah, but he diverted the river Euphrates into a reservoir and at night marched under the wall to discover two gates open, and he conquered Babylon with minimal loss of life. It was an easy piece of cake for him. And so when he saw his name there, that God wanted him also, though, to help rebuild the temple in the previous verse, is Isaiah 44, verse 28, I think, thereabouts. Anyway, he freed Israel and helped pay their way, helped them get back to Israel with a donation for their temple. And I'm seeing that Trump, as Cyrus II, in Revelation 12th chapter, verse 14, it says to the woman who represented God's people in Revelation 12:1, a woman clothed with light standing on the moon. I think she has a lunar understanding of the calendar, not the Catholic Gregorian calendar that we're using today. But if you use God's calendar, and I'll send you a link for it, you can count the 70 weeks from Pentecost, and we will end up at the important dates that God designated for our anointing, I think, at the end of those 69 weeks. And so I'm looking forward to those events based on, I think, biblical stuff. And we will know there's one more thing. I don't know how we're doing for time, but I think that...
we're good.
All right, okay. There was a historic dark day in a book by my favorite author, The Great Controversy, she wrote, but it tells how in New England, May 19, 1780 was unexplainably dark. Cows came in from the field, chickens went to roost, they used lamps midday to read a newspaper. And I wondered why she put it in her book, because nothing happened. You know, Christ didn't come. But New Englanders, reading Joel 2:2, the day of the Lord is the day of darkness, they thought he must be coming. Well, nothing happened in the 1780s. But 200 years later, May 19, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupts and puts ash into the sky. And overnight, those winds carry the ash to darken three states on the northwest, just like the original that was northeast in New England. So I think God was marking the Catholic Gregorian calendar for May 19, okay? And this year, uniquely, it's different, okay? It falls on the last day of second Passover, the 9/11 Passover in May. The Passover actually begins counting from the new moon. It began on the 14th day at even, and that's how Christ recognized Passover in his time. They had the Passover lamb, and they celebrated the Lord's Supper. Blessed are those servants, by the way, who he finds watching. If we do it on the night of May 12 to 13 this year, and by the way, this is all bets are off if there's no attack on Jerusalem. You know, I'm wrong if it's this year, but if it's not this year, when Muslims attack. But if Muslims attack Jerusalem, I believe the Lord's going to roar from Jerusalem and chase those Muslims out. And that roar is the earthquake. It says the Lord will roar, heavens and earth shake, and it will impact us. I believe somehow we will feel it if we're watching and praying and awake. Blessed are those servants whom his Lord finds watching. He will gird himself, make them sit down to eat and serve it. I believe he will somehow, that's Last Supper imagery, and we can be like the disciples and with an opportunity to be faithful to him through the end time, anointed by his Spirit. That, to me, that's huge and highly rewarded. In Luke 12:44, he will make us ruler over all that he has. And since my name is ruling, I want to understand how that happens. And so I believe, you know, it's not about me. It's really about 144. We can all be there. So hang Amen. On and let's go for it.
Amen. And, you know, you said May 19, which is coming up here, you know, shortly. We also are looking at, I just seen, I can't remember if it was yesterday or day before, where there is a rumor, I guess you could say, that the Muslims are planning another October 7 style attack somewhere in Israel, because they're upset with, you know, everything going on with the Gaza Strip and all that stuff right now. And, you know, only being a couple months away at the time of this recording, that could be the timing about mid-May when maybe something will happen in Jerusalem.
Well, historically, in 70 AD, Titus came at the Passover in April. And I kind of want to believe that they will attack in April, and it takes a little while. It took Titus 5 months to get into Jerusalem. But I believe that by the way, I have a, let's see here. I don't know if you can see this, but this is President Erdogan of Turkey appealing and urging 57 Muslim nations to siege Israel. If 57, you know, that's God says, I will gather all nations, and I think it's all Muslim nations against, and little Israel is like a postage stamp surrounded by enemy. And I think they will get it done quick. And I believe that by second Passover, the Lord is going to roar and the heavens and earth will shake as the days of Noah.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. I mean, it's good from our perspective. Put it like that.
Well, a lot of, let me share this. So we need to be more into Bible to see how things fit together, because you remember Moses wanted freedom for Israel to go 3 days into the wilderness to sacrifice to God. And I believe I heard a Pentagon specialist in survival who had researched this. And he said that it would be so easy for an enemy to do a high altitude explosion of a nuke in mid America. It doesn't have to hit any city. It's just high altitude explode there. And it would, knock out the power grids coast to coast. And so, he said those transformers, electrical, are specific for each location. They can't make a bunch of them and just plug them in. They have to wait. And he estimates it would take a year to get the transformers working. And during that year, truckers could not pump fuel to their trucks to get food to the cities. And starvation will be very real. In 70 AD, mothers ate their own babies to survive, for they were hungry, and bad stuff. Yeah. This is horrible to think about, but we can. I think, you know, God. What shall I say? It was Cain, the first murderer, who built the first city in the Bible, in Genesis 5, and I think that we need to get out of the cities, be prepared. If I were living in the city. In May, I think I would want to take a vacation time before Passover and look for a farmer that has a garden and offer my services and pay to even park my RV or tent or whatever so that I could help him out and eat and survive with water from his well maybe or what, because it's I think America is facing what God said, I'm going to make a full end of all other nations. America is the head of gold. Yeah, in Babylon, in Revelation, I'm sorry, it's Daniel 2. There was an image with a head of gold, chest of silver, thighs of brass, and legs of iron. They represented Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, finally, the Iron Kingdom. So I believe we're going to repeat that history because it comes from Daniel 7 and 8. In Daniel 7, those four metals were represented by four beasts, a lion with eagle's wings. I think that's the U.S. with England. The U.K. has a lion. Okay, so we're that. The bear represents Russia. I grew up with that, the newspapers. Yep. And the one that's not obviously clear would be the leopard with four heads. But it could be economic forces of China and Korea, Japan, Thailand, or India. I don't know who will be allied. And then, and they came in sequence. In other words, I believe that if we do our part, and part of making us an end of this nation, I think Putin right now, even headlines, is against U.S. getting Greenland. Okay, they're strategizing, but they have missiles down in Nicaragua and so on, and I think they could nuke us. You know, in the sequence of lion, bear, leopard, and so on, and finally the. The dragon-like beast comes up. It's the European Union with the papacy in the middle of it. So that the papacy is very shrewd. They let everybody else do the fighting, and then they step in at the end. And the UN is the road to papal supremacy for the Pope, actually. Yeah. And I think we're going to see it play that way. I don't know whether the Pope's going to last that long or not. But anyway, we'll see. But that's
then you have the Malachi prophecy also that says that this is the last Pope.
So. Yes, yes. It is even of the eighth. The seventh king is even of the eighth, and it might be the UN is as the eighth. In Revelation 13, it is. There are three beasts in Revelation 13, and early Americans also believed that the papacy was the first one that they had fled. In the old world, they came here for freedom. They didn't want to be burned at the stake for hiding a Bible in their home. And so they risked life at high sea and from Indians and starvation. But God blessed this land to become the greatest nation in the world in about 154 years. From 1787, 154 years brings us to 1941, World War I we entered. And we stopped Hitler from ruining. London was being bombed every night, you know, at that time. But and their U-boats were all around, but we beat them and Japan, et cetera. And interestingly enough, in my opinion, that this is obscure history, but the Pope signed a concordat with Hitler to make the world Catholic when Hitler won the war. Hitler was Catholic, and that was no problem for Hitler. Yeah, I'll make everybody Catholic. Well, God doesn't want to make people, you know, and he doesn't want to make Muslims even. Muslims are going to make you. They're going to behead you if they don't do it. But force does, you know, God wants freedom to choose. Evaluate the evidence. God is a loving God. He's not trying to kill people. And he doesn't step in all the time. He just, but I believe the earthquake will be a time of judgment. That, but just one act will let the whole ball of wax or snowball build, you know, to what's coming.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Well, Dr. Rulli, this has been great again, as usual. I do appreciate your time. If someone has a question they'd like to reach out to you, maybe do an interview like this. How can they get in touch with you?
Well, I have a website with some good books, I believe, and they're cheap. The digital copy, like How It All Ends, is only $2.95, and they get a high-value link on how they can reverse most disease without prescription drugs, which are dangerous. So excellent, excellent. $2.95 would be the best bargain, I believe, on the whole internet, in my opinion, because drugs can potentially kill you or make you sick. And if you don't have to buy them, you're saving. And the video is on Amazon is $10 plus $4 shipping. But for $2.95, you get the link, which is more usable. Man. And go to the website is Health, Happiness, and Destiny. Spell out and, A-N-D. So four words, healthhappinessanddestiny.com, and they can get a high value, and it's an introduction to some of this stuff, and contact later, and we'll be talking again, too. So you've been great. Thank you on this.
Amen, amen. I'll put links all this down in the show notes below. Folks, Dr. Rulli's stuff it's priceless. I can't even describe how much I've learned from reading his materials. Amen. And his discussion on the pharmaceuticals and all of that, I mean, it will open your eyes to what's happening right now. And you can see the effort that the pharmaceutical companies are using trying to control everything right now, the politicians and all of it, right? I mean, it just lines up perfectly with what he's talking about with Bible prophecy and everything else. Drop down the show notes, click the links right there, reach out to Dr. Rulli. Dr. Rulli, I appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join with us again today. I can't wait till the next one, brother.
Well, God bless you too. I owe you so much, and may God bless you. I believe we're servants of him, and he will reward us according to our servants. But thank you, and I look forward to any more in the future as well, depending on how things are turning out in a few weeks.
Amen. Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Dr. Richard Rulli and myself, it's Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
You have been listening to Revelation Warning with Pastor Robert Thibodeau and his guest expert on Bible prophecy as it relates to current events. This podcast is not designed to invoke fear, but concern. Help us to make everyone aware that the soon return of Jesus is close at hand by clicking the like, subscribe, and then share buttons below. Share this episode with your loved ones, friends, and coworkers. For more information on our ministry, please visit podcasterforchrist.com and be sure to come back next week for another episode of Revelation Warning.